Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure, as always. Gary Moore is our guest and our good friend, ladies and gentlemen. Gary is the author of Faithful Finances, also one of my favorite books, Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton. He's a former vice president of investments at Payne Webber, and now he has his own client base, and he helps them with their finances. And occasionally, he joins us on the show to help us sort out a few things. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing good. It's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
Now, you're not on Wall Street anymore, but you spend a lot of time there virtually.
Oh, yeah.
Virtually. And what do you think about what's going on right now from an overview standpoint? Just from a 30,000 foot view, Gary. We got the government talking about bailing out the financial markets, the loan packages, the debt issues.
Yeah.
And then we also got the government doing, you know, wandering over into the equity side.
Yes.
And which was inevitable, I guess, when they start out on the financial part. But what case in point would be the Bear Stearns deal.
That's exactly right.
Now tell us what your thoughts are as a Wall Street veteran. What are your thoughts about what's going on right now?
Well, the first thing the average person needs to understand is what's happening right now is a crisis in the financial system, not the economy per se, Jim.
Right.
Let me explain that.
Explain the difference.
Okay. Take your house. Let's say your house is worth $200,000, Jim. Okay. And let's say you're the typical American and you have $100,000 of equity in it. Now, we know house prices are declining, and that's not making all of us real happy right now. Of course, it was inevitable. But the point is, the house price can drop 50%, Jim, before it affects the financial system. That is the mortgage holder,
right,
who is holding the mortgage on your home. Okay, so it is an economic concern a little bit, what's happening. But it is not basically a financial problem unless you happen to have packaged a whole bunch of 95 and 100% loans,
right,
and sold them off to people and couldn't get rid of the riskier ones. That's what we call subprime mortgages. And that's what happened with the big banks. We made a lot of fees selling these things off, but there was some of what we call the toxic waste we couldn't get rid of. And as that, let's say home prices dropped 5%, and if these were 100% mortgages, then you've got some write-offs in the deal.
Right,
and when you
multiply that by some pretty significant numbers.
Well, when those mortgages are concentrated, what was left over, the toxic waste in a company like Bear Stearns, for example, and this is critical, Bear Stearns' other focus, big business, was working with hedge funds. These are companies that have hundreds of millions of dollars with Bear. And they are not covered by insurance, so when anybody gets nervous, they have to take their money out, and you have an old-fashioned run on the bank.
Which is what happened to Bear Stearns week before last.
That's exactly what happened.
And one of the hedge funds that they invested in, Carlyle, went belly up about a couple of weeks ago, didn't it?
Well, that's correct. Carlyle, the mortgage company, owned AAA-rated mortgages, but get this, Jim, they had gone out and borrowed roughly 30 times the amount of money that they put into the deal. So
wow.
It was a 33-to-1 ratio. All it took was a 3% decline in the price of government bonds, government guaranteed bonds, to wipe out the equity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to them. And now all the big banks started saying, we need money, we need money. Well, these bonds were going down in price. It was just the mere fact they were having to sell them was forcing the price down. And every time they forced the price down, Wall Street wanted more money, and it becomes a vicious cycle.
I saw one thing that showed that they owed $31 billion, and they had $600 million and equity and real assets.
And here's
31
the
billion versus 600 billion.
No. We want to be very careful with how we say this, but the thing we're concerned with today is that there are some, the Economist magazine just this week came out with an article that said there are some major Wall Street firms that have leverage very similar to what Carlyle and Thornburg and all those guys
and
did.
Bear Stearns.
And Bear Stearns, they're all right in the same league. Now,
yeah.
Here's what I want to emphasize to your listeners, though. If you're just a typical person, you have a $100,000 IRA or whatever, you don't have that much to worry about, okay? There's governmental insurance that covers all that stuff. The big firms will be taken over if anything happens, like what happened, you know, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of on top of it. I'm not hugely worried at this point, Jim.
When we come back, though, I want to talk about the about some of the issues that the government getting involved in this. Is there a moral hazard here? And should we care? And that we'll do that right after these messages. 20 till, Gary Moore is our guest. Stay with us.
As I was walking down the street one day, a man came up.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Use all of our stuff. Gary Moore is our guest. He's the author of Faithful Finances 101. And we're talking about some of the stuff that's going on right now on Wall Street, the financial markets globally. Actually, this is a global issue. What it's doing to the economy. Gary, there's only one way to describe what's happened in the last what's come to pass, what's manifested in the last 6 months. It's been building over for a few years. The only way to describe it is greed.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That's basically it. Jim, for I guess I started going to seminary in the late 80s when I saw the junk bond mess, and I realized how important morality was, or the lack of it, in that particular mess. And since then, people, my conservative friends on Wall Street, have sort of said, well, Gary, you know, you're just anti-capitalist. Well, nothing could really be further from the truth, Jim.
Right.
We know Steve Forbes and his grandfather, B.C., who founded Forbes magazine. I want to read you something that I put in a previous book. I just pulled it off. My seminar presentation when I go around the country. Listen to this. B.C. Forbes himself wrote, the 1929 breakdown was at its roots a moral breakdown. We were not living right. We had become extravagant. We had become intoxicated by the alluring notion that the royal road to riches did not lie through sweat but speculation. We discarded and scorned old-fashioned virtues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, get this one. In 1944, he wrote, in July the 1st, he said, the sins of big business and high finance were responsible for the overwhelming voting of the New Deal into power.
Yes.
Therefore, any and every act calculated to bring business into disrepute is infinitely regrettable. You know what the headline of the Wall Street Journal is this morning, Jim? You said you hadn't seen it yet.
No.
But it's basically how this is, if you think about the junk bond mess, then the dot-com mess, and then this mess, in essence, it's three strikes and you're out, Jim. And the headline of the Wall Street Journal is that all of this is bringing back re-regulation of the financial sector and probably corporate America.
Yeah. And so what's happened is that greed, when all people had to do was to make a good living and be and operate in an ethical, reasonable way, they let their greed get out of hand, and now they're going to impose re-regulation on all the rest of us.
Yep.
You know the thing that caused the Great Depression wasn't the stock market collapse of 29, folks. It was the government affairs, the government decisions that followed that, including the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act of the early 30s, and tax increases. Those two things did more to cause the Great Depression than anything. And so that's what I'm worried about right now. And I've been saying this for a long time, Gary, with regard to the subprime issue, I've been worried that we're going to have from the government, our federal government, is going to pass something the equivalent of a Sarbanes-Oxley for mortgages.
Well, they're definitely going to re-regulate. Anytime you get governmental bailout and governmental money, it comes with strings attached to you. I mean, I think that's the way it should be. But the point is still that there is this reaction that's there that politically, I mean, if you even listen to John McCain occasionally, you know, he's not exactly a laissez-faire
right.
capitalist who's all big on Wall Street as Ronald Reagan and so on may have been in the 80s. Jim, did you know this is interesting? An economist wrote this 10-page special on the mess that we're in last week. Did you know in 1980 when Ronald Reagan took over that the financial sector accounted for 10% of America's corporate profits? You know, last year it was 40%.
Wow.
That's how much financial America has grown in the last 25 or so years. And we're just not aware of it. It's absolutely amazing.
And when you get a virus, it makes a whole lot of the economy sick, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and it used to be that the financial sector, I've used the analogy on your show before, was a little pump that moved money through a pipeline from those who have it to those who need it. And today, what we do is sort of siphon off some of that money and so on. And I think that's what's about to change on Wall Street, and it's going to have a big impact on my business, but it might actually be good for the business of America is the point. We spend an awful lot of money just trading paper.
Well, and yeah, the thing that I've said for a long time, Gary, is Wall Street is a derivative of Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens on Wall Street until I make a sale on Main Street. My small business owners make a sale on Main Street. Nothing happens on Wall Street till that happens. And so what we've got now is Wall Street thinks it's the dog. It doesn't know it's the tail.
Well, and that's the problem, Jim, and that's what we could be seeing the end of. You know, Peter Drucker in the mid-90s wrote a book called Post-Capitalist Society, and he predicted that back then that because of the greed of CEOs, who he literally called pigs at the trough in an interview with Forbes and so on, was going to undermine business. There was a lot of resentment growing at the salaries and so on, Jim. And I think we may be set for a little period of populism here.
Do you think there's a moral hazard in what the government's trying to do with Bear Stearns, for example?
The moral hazard was created back when they were issuing those subprime loans, Jim.
Yeah. You're saying that ship has sailed already.
That ship is out of the dock.
Yeah. Stand by. Quick break. Tintail. Right back with our good friend Gary Moore, the author of Faithful Finances 101. Here's John Mellencamp to take us out. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Gary Moore. He's one of our financial experts in our brain trust, the author of Faithful Finances 101. Gary, give us your website, please.
Financialseminary.org, O-R-G. We're a nonprofit.
So check that out, folks. Somebody asked me if I was a nonprofit once, Gary, and I said, I'm not supposed to be.
Not by intent.
I didn't mean to be. Gary, let's talk about our audience's investments.
Sure.
If they've got their investments in their, whether it's a retirement or if it's their investment money outside of retirement, whatever, what should they do right now? If they can take a profit, should they go ahead and sell and move that money to cash, or should we be trying to pick up some of these real estate deals that look like pretty good deals? What should we be doing right now?
Well, the first thing is don't panic. We've moved from the period of greed to fear, and people now, for example, are selling AAA rated subprime bonds because of the liquidity mess on Wall Street at a substantial discount. There's just no reason to do that if they truly are, you know, good bonds, Jim. The stock market, it's not cheap, but I don't think it's grossly overvalued as it has been in a few years. I don't think we're positioned to start any major bull market yet without, you know, a little sideways trending at the very minimum for another few years. One of my heroes who I mentioned to you occasionally on Wall Street that I listen to, Jeremy Grantham, thinks it'll be 2010, which is really not that far away now, before this mess is over and we're in a position to begin a sustained advance. But you know, just
so would you stick with equities the equities we have?
Well, Jim, I've been underweighted equities, as you know. Sir John Templeton told us back in 1999 that equities were not going to go anywhere for 10 years in this country, and I've been underweight equities, U.S. equities in this country, you know, since then. All this decade, we've had a lot of foreign stuff. Foreign stuff has caught up to the U.S. And when this mess is over in the U.S., and I view it sort of as a cleansing process that's going on, I think U.S. stocks will be priced fairly competitively with what's around the world at this time. And if I was going to go back in, looking out in this mess and position a portfolio, I'd probably put today about a third into real estate investment trust commercial income producing. They're down considerably from a year ago. I'd put about a third in stocks around the world and put a third in about bonds around the world, and you're diversified, and that's sort of a normal portfolio for normal times.
Are we going to learn anything from what's happened?
We will for a year or two. That's human nature. If you go all the way back to the Bible, what you read is what's called the monastic cycle. And that during bad times, people are disciplined, if you will, and then good times, people become undisciplined, and then the non-discipline creates bad times, and you go through that whole cycle. And that's sort of the economic history of mankind, and we'll do it again, Jim. I do think the fundamental shift that's probably going to happen, I don't think it'll get out of control, because Ben Bernanke is sort of a laissez-faire capitalist, as is Chris Crane over at the SEC. And I think in the financial sector, you probably won't see them adopt any form of socialism for a while. But the rest of the economy, I think you can expect from the politicians and Congress and so on, I think you can expect to see more regulation.
Do you like all of the new tools that the Fed's using these days? Are you glad they've got different instruments to adjust the economy, with like opening up the discount window to investment banks, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, I've been a critic of the Fed probably, well, since Greenspan kind of started going off the charts with the money supply. But Bernanke has been unusually creative, and I think in a positive way, of doing strategic strikes on what is troubling Wall Street. And I've actually been a little surprised at how creative he's been, and I think it has been to the plus side. Do I think the Fed can solve our problems? No, Jim, I don't. But I think they can react and minimize them, if you will.
Well, one of the things I'd like to say as we wrap up, Main Street, small business owners, Main Street believes in itself. Wall Street doesn't believe in anything. And I believe Main Street will lead us out of whatever we're in right now. It won't be Wall Street. It'll be Main Street.
I was talking about that to a friend of mine who's the dean of a political science school at a college. And there's an old saying, Jim, that the trouble with socialism is socialism. The trouble with capitalism is capitalist. Okay.
Hey, Gary,
one is systemic and the other is a human nature problem.
Thank you for being here, Gary. Good job today. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.